Good evening. How is everyone doing out there today? This is Dr. Keith Henry from Phase 3 Wellness. Again, I am a naturopathic doctor at the practice of ministry here in Orlando, Florida. Thank you for joining me again this week on Phase 3 Wellness. We have a exciting show for you today. We're going to follow our same outline that we do always, the Week in Natural News Review in the first segment. The second segment, we will talk about a healing food. And the third segment, we will talk about a healing herb. Again, we're right here every week, normally at 3:30, and we're live. Normally today, I'm not, this won't be broadcast live, but it will be available. So basically, I'm pre-recording this one. This is Sunday the 7th of October. I didn't want to miss a week, so I'm recording a little later than usual, and I'm not recording live again. But we have an exciting show for you. In our first segment, which is what we're going to start with now, the Week in Natural News Review, I have a couple of articles from naturalnews.com. And the first one is entitled, Ask Yourself Why Are There No Prescription Medications Without Horrific Side Effects? Which is a question that they're asking. And the second article that we're going to look at is the royal fern shown to be effective in treating head and neck cancers. Because again, those are the two articles that we're going to talk about today in the Week in Natural News Review. Now, if you've never listened before, what we do in the Week in Natural News Review, we take two or three articles and we basically talk about and analyze articles, health articles that came out during the week. Usually directly associated with health, sometime indirectly associated with health, but 99% of the time they're associated directly with health, and then we basically talk about them. So, and then in the second segment we pick a healing food and we talk a little bit about that, and then thirdly we talk about a healing herb in our last segment called the healing herb segment. Again, thank you for listening in today. And we're going to jump right into this first article. It's taken from naturalnews.com. And it's, again, it's entitled, Why Are There No Prescription Medications? It basically says, ask yourself, why are there no prescription medications without horrific side effects? And the article is, it starts off by asking, or by making a statement rather, the reason there are no prescription medications available today where the side effects aren't worse than the ailment being treated is because Big Pharma would not treat or heal anything without creating several new issues that keep their customers for life coming back for more. He goes on to say that most Americans do not want to stop eating junk food, fast food, corporate franchise restaurant food, microwavable food, prepared food, bar stuff, and diet foods. And all these are in quotes. That's mostly chock full of synthetic sweeteners, GMOs, and MSG. And there's a lot to be said about this quote in this article, because it is true. You have two sides here at the very least. One side is you have people who are not going to stop eating these foods, and partly because some of the chemicals that are put in the foods have made these foods very addictive, and have made these people have led to people being addicted to these foods. And also and even those who aren't addicted, they just like the taste, and they're saying, you know, I have to die from something, so I'm going to eat these foods and whatever. Also, as pointed out, it's interesting that every drug you take would typically have side effects, both known and unknown. And as this article is pointing out, the pharmaceutical industry stands to make billions and billions of dollars, and they need paying customers. So from a business perspective, of course, they are going to say, you know what? This is a business, and we're going to make money. And so basically what that boils down to is that you and I can't expect them to take responsibility for our health. And we have to realize when they are making these commercials and all and making it appear as if they really care for our health and well-being, the fact of the matter is that they don't overall. Now, I'm sure there are some honest and good people that work in the pharmaceutical industry, because it's a huge industry, and many of them think that they're doing good. And in many cases, pharmaceutical drugs may be necessary if you're injured in a horrific accident, or for those people who who say, "Well, I'm not going to live healthy," then maybe they need to take drugs. If they want to go that down that road, then they have a right to do so. But just we have to understand that the pharmaceutical companies are not, even with these nice and friendly commercials, they're not. They really don't. Their first source of interest is not your health. Because if you're healthy and you're healed and you're not having to take their pharmaceutical drugs, then they're losing money, and they're in the business solely or primarily to make money. The article goes on to say further, do almost entirely to these nasty eating habits, about 200 million Americans seek medical doctors to prescribe them chemical-filled pills to kill the pain, quell the hypertension, reduce the inflammation, unplug the arteries, or rather unclog the clots, numb the anxiety, and nullify the depression. The FDA and CDC do not allow anything that cures disease or disorders to be labeled medicine. He says, the article says, further, most Americans think that the FDA was created to protect us from dangerous chemicals that might wind up in food and medicine, but just the opposite is true. Over the past century, the FDA has tried to destroy all forms of holistic care in America that compete with slash and burn drug and vaccine treatments that are readily dished out by the allopathic Ponzi sick care scheme that masquerades as health care in this country. It says further, the CDC is actually a for-profit corporation listed on Dun & Bradstreet as a health protection agency. The CDC is supposed to save lives and conduct critical science for responding to threats when they arise, but pharma corporations have lobbyists and their vice presidents now in positions of control in the bureaucracy, writing legislation that favor new, untested drug approvals, as they have for decades. This is true. This is almost common knowledge. In fact, it is common knowledge is that the FDA and the CDC, they're clearly on the side of the pharmaceutical companies. The politicians are on the side of pharmaceutical companies. They have millions and billions of dollars, and they have the money to buy politicians. It is what it is. It's not anything that's really there's a lot of really confusion about. The facts are the facts. The only thing that we have to do as consumers is we have to look after our own health and stop expecting that they're going to look after our health. They're not. And but we also need to do things. We need to be proactive in pushing for our civil liberties and the right to have access to the type of health care we choose. If you want to choose allopathic medicine and drugs, you should have a right to do so. And you shouldn't be impeded by the government who is not really looking out after the well-being of the citizenry, but actually after the well-being of for-profit corporations while pretending to look out for the well-being of the citizens. And if you want to, you should have a right. If you want to go that way, if you want to go down the road of drug medication, allopathic medicine, then you should have a right to. If you want to choose holistic medicine, then you should have a right to do that as well. The article went on to say that both the FDA and the CDC promote toxic chemicals as medicine, including prescription medications, chemotherapy, and vaccines. Meanwhile, any food, herb, tincture, plant, seed, or essential oil that treats, prevents, or cures disease is banned as medicine while being manipulated in labs, weakened, or deadened, patented, and then declared a failure. Prescription drugs, the article goes on to say, prescription drug deaths skyrocket while the big pharma world pretends to search for cures for cancer, dementia, and diabetes. We talked last week about the third leading cause of death behind heart disease and cancer in the United States is actually doctors, pharmaceutical drugs. And doctors making mistakes, etc. The third leading cause, not diabetes, not some of these other diseases, but actually wrong, giving too much medicine, too little, giving the wrong types of healthcare treatment is the third leading cause of death. The article goes on to say further, 20 years ago, only 4 in every 100,000 people died from taking prescription drugs as recommended by the medical doctors. Now 1 in every 10. That's a significant difference. 20 years ago, only 4 in every 100,000 people died from taking prescription drugs as recommended by the medical doctor. Now, the article says 1 in every 10 Americans struggle with addiction to prescription drugs. Hint, opioids. And most of you who are listening, you've heard about the opioid crisis, especially right here in Florida where I am. The opioid, it's been one of the hardest hit states by the opioid crisis. Right now, the article says over 3 million Americans are abusing painkillers, 2 million are misusing tranquilizers, 1.7 million are abusing stimulants, and 500,000 are misusing sedatives. Further, it says more Americans use and abuse controlled prescription drugs than heroin, cocaine, and methamphetamines combined. The article says how many of them would die this year? About 50 people would die today from overdosing on opioids. And now heroin is the death drug of choice for most people who become addicted to opioid pain relievers. He says most teenagers think it's safer to take a friend's prescription drug than to dose some illegal street drugs just because they were prescribed by a doctor. But that's not true at all. The side effects of most prescription drugs that treat depression and anxiety include worsened depression and thoughts of suicide. And then he asks the question, how ridiculous is that? That's just true. How every prescription drug advertised on television for all American children and teens to see comes slathered with side effects that you wouldn't wish upon your worst enemies, the article goes on to say. Then they all feature the same tagline, ask your doctor if it's right for you. This is a very straightforward article, and it's a very true article. The fact of the matter is that many of the drugs, the prescription drugs, that are given to treat depression and anxiety actually include worsening the depression and also thoughts of suicide. It's one of the possible side effects. Now, it's interesting that many people who are severely, severely depressed will sometimes seek or have thoughts and desires of suicide because they wanted to escape the pain. And so then you take a drug that's supposed to help you, but one of the possible side effects is to make you more depressed and to make you even more suicidal. That's an interesting concept for people to get behind, especially people who create these drugs, who are no doubt very brilliant people. But you know, that's just a little bit lacking a little bit of common sense. And so why would you take a drug to reverse the effects of something, and yet this drug could or does in many cases cause the very thing that you're taking it to help or to alleviate to get worse? Finally, the article goes on to say, it's as if we are all living in total idiocy, like the movie Idiocracy. More than 200 million Americans think it's okay if their medical doctor prescribed them medicine that can cause internal bleeding, loss of vision, coma, feelings of suicide, and thoughts of committing suicide. And it's amazing that so many intelligent people, even many intelligent people who in one breath would say that holistic medicine is quackery, da 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 da, but yet realize that when they watch the television commercials and hear all of the possible side effects, some of which are often death, and which is astonishing to me how intelligent people can sit there and listen to that on a whole scale level and nothing clicks. But the good news is this: millions and millions of people have woken up, and they've woken up because they have experienced themselves, they've experienced that they're not getting any better, they're tired of taking medication, they don't like the side effects, or whatever the case might be, and they're turning to holistic medicine, whether it be by a naturopath, a holistic general practitioner of whatever stripe, or herbalist, or a health coach, whatever, nutritionist, and they're learning, and many of these people are getting much, much better benefits. They're able to get off this medication. And we talked about who's killing the holistic doctors a couple of weeks ago. And as I said before, as more and more people do this, you have people who are not happy about it because they stand to lose millions, if not billions, of dollars. And so we talked about who's really killing the holistic practitioners. Again, this is Dr. Keith Henry. I'm a naturopathic doctor. You are listening to Phase 3 Wellness, the Phase 3 Wellness podcast. We're in our first segment called the Week in Natural News Review. I'm running a little bit behind, but we're going to go ahead and go to our second article in the Week in Natural News Review. This article is also from naturalnews.com. It's entitled, it came out this week, The Royal Fern Shown to be Effective in Treating Head and Neck Cancers. It says that head and neck cancers account for only about 4% of all cancers in the United States, making it therefore a very rare form of cancer. However, the article points out, for something so uncommon, it has a shockingly disturbing survival rate of only 27%. It says this type of cancer is diagnosed more often among people over the age of 50. However, researchers are now, the article says, saying that due to unhealthy lifestyle habits such as smoking and excessive drinking, younger people are being afflicted with this disease as well. The cure for head and neck squamous cell carcinoma is dependent on the stage of metastasis the cancer is in. And again, squamous cell carcinoma, from henceforth I will just say HNSCC, as just as a short form of it. HNSCC is notorious for having a fast metastasizing rate, working its way into the lymph nodes, the local regional lymph nodes, rather than to other organs. Standard treatment for the disease is the combined use of chemotherapy and radiation. Paclitaxel, a standard chemotherapy medication, has been observed to be ineffective for the squamous cell carcinoma, having failed to reach logical regional tumors in around 12% of patients, according to a 2003 study. The article says further, a new study published in BMC Complementary and Alternative Medicine revealed that royal fern, Osmunda regalis, which is the Latin name and form of it, may be a safe, natural, and effective way to inhibit the growth of HNSCC, or squamous cell carcinoma. To reach this conclusion, researchers analyzed several mechanisms of the royal fern, and this is what they found. They found that proliferation inhibition was measured, invasive inhibition was tested, gene expression changes were analyzed, induction of apoptosis, which is cell death, was measured as well, and anti-angiogenic activity was determined by the two, also determined, was determined. The plant was also analyzed as a whole using preliminary phytochemical tests and some other tests. Results showed that the royal fern extract had a significant inhibiting effect on the growth of HNSCC, or squamous cell carcinoma. Further, researchers noted that the plant triggered apoptosis, or cell death, in HNSCC cell lines and inhibited two formation of endothelial cells. These effects were believed to be caused by the synergistic qualities of the different compounds found in royal fern. Other studies show efficacy of natural medicine in treating HNSCC. So again, when we talk about treating diseases like cancer, which can be a devastating disease, and especially in this head and neck cancer, which has such a speedy rate of metastasis of spreading throughout to the lymph nodes, and so it's whenever we ignore these powerful plant-based medicines that can help and have shown to be even more effective than chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, etc. Overall, then it's almost criminal that we ignore it, or doctors ignore it when it could actually help save someone, and we choose to rather than following the do no harm theory, we follow the do harm and hope that the people get better. Now, the article pointed out further, chemotherapy is not effective against cancer, as strange as that may sound initially. It says that mainstream media has conditioned all of us to believe that injecting our bodies with toxic chemicals is the only way to cure the disease. This isn't natural, nor should it ever be considered as the first line of defense when it comes to treating cancer. Current studies are proving this to be true. Then they cite a study. The article cites a study in 2012 that concluded that grapeseed extract killed head and neck squamous cell carcinoma cells while leaving healthy cells unharmed. What is remarkable about this study is that the effect of the grapeseed extract was almost immediate. Was almost an immediate advantage, considering how fast HNSCC can metastasize. It says, then it quotes Dr. Rajesh Agarwal, one of the authors of the study. He says, cancer cells are fast-growing cells. And not only that, but they are necessarily fast-growing. When conditions exist in which they can't grow, they die. Grapeseed extract was observed to create conditions that are unfavorable to their growth. Specifically, the extract damaged the cancer cells' DNA and stopped the pathways that allow for cellular repair. So it's amazing. at grapeseed extract, and even though we're talking about the fern, there are many, many plants that the Creator has given us that are packed with these healing, with these healing nutrients, for lack of a better term. And think about what this study found. This study that it found that grapeseed extract, it was observed, create conditions that are unfavorable to the growth of the cancer cells, and they grow fast. So the Creator has given us this medicine, this plant-based medicine, that when it comes to cancer's fast-growing ability, this specifically grapeseed extract in this particular case has been shown to specifically slow the growth or create an unfavorable condition for the growth of these cells. And then it says specifically the extract, grapeseed extract, damaged the cancer cell's DNA and stopped the pathways that allow for cellular repair. Amazing. Finally, the article finishes by saying more people are opting for more natural ways to cure their cancer. One study found that around 20% of patients diagnosed with head and neck cancer try some form of alternative medicine. This number could have been higher, but another study concluded that many patients often feel uncomfortable discussing these therapies with their physicians. Similarly, many physicians are unaware of or under-equipped rather to evaluate or discuss the use of alternative cancer treatments with their patients. Now, again, there are some good medical doctors out there, doctors who are open-minded, who integrate holistic methods in their practice, who don't feel that themselves so arrogant that they can't still learn. There are some who are not that way. Probably most are not that way. But and so those who are open to learning, to expanding their knowledge in areas that, and don't think that their brand of medicine is the only medicine, or that they have a monopoly on knowledge when it comes to healing or medicine as a whole, because what they're doing is not really healing. But there are many medical doctors who are open-minded, who are holistic, who integrate holistic measures into their practice, or they've linked up with holistic practitioners and they're learning themselves, and we should give these men and women kudos. But there are those who don't have that mentality. Probably the majority of them don't. And then there's always the, you know, they have hundreds of thousands of dollars in school loan debt, and you know they don't want to be blackballed by their colleagues and be called quacks and these other things. But the fact of the matter is, if something works, it works, period. And so if there's something in allopathic medicine that works, then it works. But if there's something in natural medicine that works, it works. It didn't matter where it comes from. If it works, it works. And that's the mindset that we have to have. We have to be open-minded enough to accept the possible reality that, hey, you know, even though I thought this was quackery, I didn't agree with it, if it works and it's benefiting those who I'm sworn or I've sworn to help or benefit by treating them, then if it's effective, it's effective. This is Dr. Keith Henry. You're listening to Phase Through Wellness Podcast. We're going to pivot now from our first segment over to our second segment. And this segment is our healing food segment. And I'm going to kind of blend this segment today. And normally I don't do this, but I'm going to try to blend this segment in with the article as well, with the study that came out this week, or that article that cited a study. And we talk about, and I really want to tie this in because the article talked about a study that finds that apples improve sexual function in women. And so, in talking about the apples, before we get to some of the details of that study, let's look at the benefit of our healing food, which is apples today. Apples are probably, in terms of fruit, one of, if not the best fruit, single fruit that you can eat. It could be considered in some respects a superfood in and of itself. Now, let's look at some of the nutrients contained in the apple. Apples have B complex vitamins. These B complex vitamins are very important for your nerves, your adrenals, etc. And they have not only these B complex vitamins, but they have riboflavin, thiamine, of course, vitamin B6, which is one of your B complex vitamins. These vitamins help maintain your overall health, of your nervous system, also of your red blood cells. Apples also have a good bit of dietary fiber. According to the National Health Service, a fiber-rich diet, of course, many of you already know, can help prevent certain diseases. Fiber can also help control the amount of bad cholesterol in your blood, LDL. And some doctors argue, and it's probably true, that there's really no such thing as bad cholesterol per se, but just for the purposes of discussion, we'll use that LDL or bad cholesterol. Apples also contain minerals. They have calcium, phosphorus, potassium, etc. They have phytonutrients. They're full of polyphenolic compounds that can help protect the body from the free radical damage. They also contain vitamin C. Of course, if you're listening, you've heard me talk about vitamin C before. Vitamin C is a very potent natural antioxidant that can also protect you from free radical damage. Of course, vitamin C also can strengthen the body's resistance against infectious diseases and agents. And this was even discovered or pointed out by the University of Maryland Medical Center. So again, apples are full. The Creator has packed apples full of nutrients to help our bodies. Now, on to this study that found that apples improve sexual function in women. Here's another benefit of apples. Now, this is a study that was published in the journal Archives of Gynecology and Obstetrics. And it involved a group of doctors in Trento, Italy, who observed 731 healthy and sexually active Italian women. Now, in this study, the participants in this study didn't report any sexual disorders. They were between the ages of 18 to 43. Each woman answered what was called the Female Sexual Function Index, or the FSFI questionnaire, which is designed to access certain aspects of sexual functioning like orgasms, pain, satisfaction, and sexual arousal in clinical trials. The participants also told the researchers about their daily apple consumption and as well as their overall eating habits. Now, based on their apple eating habits, the women were separated into two groups. The first group ate at least one apple every day, while the second group didn't eat apples regularly at all. The researchers said that the women who ate an apple every day had significantly higher scores on the FSFI sexual function index. The authors also reference other studies that have identified a strong link between antioxidants, phytoestrogens, polyphenols, and women's sexual health. And so again, apples are full of all three of these nutrients, these substances. They're full of antioxidants, phytoestrogens, and polyphenols. Both antioxidants and polyphenols can help reduce inflammation and boost your blood circulation. Meanwhile, phytoestrogens are weak plant compounds that have an estrogenic effect on the body. So in this study, women who ate an apple a day had better sexual function overall, and apparently their sexual function operated at a higher level. They had a better benefit, better arousal, apparently better orgasms, etc. And so again, ladies, if you one of the things you want to do to help increase your sexual function. Now, this also includes not just eating apples and then like smoking and drinking and not living a healthy lifestyle, but if you're eating a relatively healthy lifestyle, you can actually increase your sexual function. Based upon this study, by eating more apples, especially eating just an apple a day. You know that saying that an apple a day keeps the doctor away? Well, there you have it. It's another benefit of eating apples. Apples are definitely another. That's definitely another generous benefit of the apple. Again, this is a brief. Our food today is the apple, and that it was a brief segment on that. I just wanted to hit that because we've talked about apple before. We've talked about typical fruits and vegetables, but sometimes when a new study or something comes out to give us more information on a particular fruit or vegetable that we've covered before in the healing food section, sometimes I like to go back and repeat it. Sometimes we get kind of lazy and forget how important it is to eat our fruits and vegetables, and sometimes we become inspired when we hear, oh, I can get the benefit of vitamin C or this chemical or that mineral or whatnot. And sometimes we may go out and buy apples or buy oranges or, you know, include these things back into our diet where we might have gotten a little lazy with regard to them. So that's why sometimes I like to repeat a healing foods or healing herbs segment. Just to remind us, give maybe some additional information, or a new study may come out, or some new information may come out. So I just think it's a benefit for us. Again, this is Dr. Keith Henry. You're listening to the Phase 2 Phase 2 Phase 3 Wellness Podcast. I'd like to thank you for joining me. I'm here every week. We're going to pivot over now into our final segment. And this segment is the healing herb segment. And many times I kind of cheat this segment sometimes, because sometimes the other two segments get a little lengthier than I'd intended, and sometimes I have to rush through this segment. That won't be the case today. We're going to be dealing with one of my favorite herbs, oregano, and we're going to be dealing with the oil of oregano. It's one of my favorite herbs. It's one of the most potent and effective natural antibiotics that we can use for our body, oil of oregano. Now, oil of oregano is derived from the leaves and the flowers of the oregano herb, and it is a member. It's actually a member of the mint family. It's native. All oregano is native to Europe, Asia, and North Africa, although it grows in many areas around the world. And now, the ancient Greeks and the Romans had a profound appreciation for oregano, and for they used it and for various medicinal purposes. Now there are more than 40 species of oregano, but the most therapeutically beneficial is the oil produced from wild oregano that's native to the Mediterranean region. So if your oil of oregano that you're getting was produced from wild oregano that's native to the Mediterranean region, that's going to be the most therapeutically beneficial oil of oregano you're going to get. Now, because of people being dishonest, some manufacturers or producers will claim sometimes that it's that theirs is native to Mediterranean region, and sometimes it's not. So you have to make sure you're getting from a trusted source. And typically, oil of oregano from there can be a little bit more expensive. It can be quite more expensive, but you need a lot less because it's so potent as well. Oregano essential oil is typically extracted through steam distillation using oregano shoots and leaves. And, you know, in your herbal arsenal, especially in your natural antibiotics herbal arsenal, is a great idea. Not a great idea, but you should have oil of oregano, no doubt about it. It is a powerful antimicrobial, and it can help your body fight off infections. Oregano also has not only antimicrobial properties, but it also has antibacterial as well as antiviral and also antifungal properties. So you're dealing with a very powerful natural antibiotic that the Creator has given us. So again, you have it's antimicrobial, it's antibacterial, it's antiviral, and antifungal. So let's look at some of the things that you can use oil of oregano to do. Again, this is not exhaustive. There are many ways. Whenever I mention an herb or a food on here, I'm not giving you each and every detail of every way that you can use it, because each person is different, each situation is different. Some people may need a little more in certain situations than others. So again, and this is not to be taken as medical advice either. If you're seeking medical advice, you should always consult with a natural health practitioner or a medical doctor who's trained or educated in natural health. Again, this oil of oregano, the statements that I make about it, they've not been evaluated by the FDA, and I'm not recommending that this should be used to treat, cure, prevent, or diagnose any disease. But I'm giving this for informational and educational purposes only. So when using oil of oregano, a good idea is to use it for aggressive nail fungus. Now, I've had cases in the past where I've seen people with very aggressive, chronic, long-standing nail fungus, and they were dealing with it. And I mix a number of oils, but particularly I've mixed oil of oregano with tea tree oil and DMSO. And DMSO, for the purposes of taking these oils through the toenail into the bloodstream in a more efficacious fashion. But for aggressive nail fungus, you can mix 3 drops of oregano oil with 2 drops of thyme and 10 drops of coconut oil. And these can be applied on the specific nail every morning and every night. Again, also, there some people have used oregano oil to help thrush. And what they've done is they've taken 2 drops of oregano oil with 15 drops of coconut oil, and they swab the mixture inside their mouth for issues of thrush. Again, there's also oregano has also been used to help alleviate sinus infections and cold sores. Now, we're not going to go into that now, but you've heard me talk about dealing with the underlying cause of cold sores and herpes and things of that nature. But those to help alleviate sinus infections and colds, not cold sores, I'm sorry, colds is what I meant to say. One formula is that has been used rather by combining has been used to combine 2 drops of oil of oregano with 5 drops of Roman chamomile oil and 6 drops of lavender oil and 5 drops of coconut oil, and then this mixture is the mixture is applied to the bottom of the feet. And this is done for 3 days a week. This is good for alleviating sinus infections and colds. Now, one of the reasons people ask, well, why is oil of oregano such a potent oil? It's because of the constituents that occur in it naturally. Oregano oil is high in phenols, which are phenols are basically natural phytochemical compounds with beneficial antioxidant effects. The two most abundant phenols in oil of oregano are phenols, one which is called thymol and another one called carvacrol. And basically, it's not only those are the two most potent, but there are some other ones. So let's look at some of the other ones in it that make it work so efficiently. Thymol is one of the most potent chemicals in it. When I say chemical, I mean natural chemical compound, a phytochemical. Thymol is a natural fungicide, and it has what we would call antiseptic properties. It actually helps boost your immune system, and it works as a shield against toxins, and even helps prevent tissue damage, and it also helps encourage healing in the body. The second most abundant phytochemical is carvacrol, and it also has antimicrobial, anti-tumor, and anti-mutagenic, and anti-inflammatory, and anti-parasitic properties, making it one of the most active components of oil of oregano. So again, you can see those are the two main constituents, but it also has another constituent called terpenes. As terpenes, they're known for their powerful antibacterial properties. It also has rosmarinic acid, which this is an antioxidant that actually prevents free radical damage and has actually shown promise in treating allergic asthma and also preventing cancer and atherosclerosis. Now, this rosmarinic acid phytochemical works also as a natural antihistamine. It actually helps to reduce fluid buildup and swelling, which that can be caused by allergy attacks. Then there's another chemical it has called nonagen, and it disinhibits the growth. Gets a phytochemical. It inhibits the growth of cancer cells and helps boost the antioxidants that are already in the oil of oregano. And basically, there's another substance called EBCP, and this substance actually inhibits inflammation. It's also beneficial for conditions like osteoporosis. So oil of oregano is packed with substances, phytochemicals, that make it a very, very effective natural remedy. Now, the some other benefits. Talk about a few of the benefits of oil of oregano. Now, like I said before, it has a wide range of health benefits, but is most associated with respiratory and immune system health. That's most natural practitioners, as I said when I first started, when I like to use oil of oregano personally to help as a natural antibiotic, if you will. And that's really what is associated with respiratory and immune system health by most practitioners, because it's known for helping to prevent and treat infections, different type of infections. So let's look at some of the infections, some of the things that oregano has been used by practitioners, even personal people to treat themselves. It's been used for urinary tract infections caused by bacteria like E. coli. It's been used for respiratory infections brought on by different bacteria strains, including staph. It's been used to help in yeast infections, even those that are resistant to the commonly used antifungal drug diflucan. It's been used for parasitic infections caused by the amoeba Giardia. It was actually even found to be more effective than antibiotics in some cases, like tinidazole. Also, we've heard, many of us have actually heard of MRSA, which actually strikes fear in the heart of some. But there was a team of Indian and British researchers, and that found that oregano oil has strong antibacterial properties that can actually help kill the MRSA superbug. Because remember, what's happening is that these antibiotics, these superbugs, these viruses and these bacteria, mainly the bacteria, we're taking these antibiotics, and then it's not wiping out all these bacteria. And then they're coming back stronger, and so they have to come up with a stronger mixture of the antibiotic or a different mixture, and then it's not really anything that's really coming out, because it creates a superbug because of such proliferation of use of the antibiotics. So now these bacteria are coming back, and these antibiotics can't do anything against them. But that's not the case with natural antibiotics like colloidal silver and like olive oregano. As I just cited here, where this team of Indian and British researchers found that olive oregano has strong antibacterial properties that can help actually kill the deadly superbug MRSA. Oregano has also shown promise in preventing foodborne illnesses caused by pathogens like Listeria and Salmonella, E. coli, etc. And so again, olive oregano has many, many, many benefits. In fact, there was an animal study from the University of Arizona researchers. And in this animal study, researchers found that oregano oil can actually help kill the norovirus, which causes gastroenteritis. That was found in an animal study from the University of Arizona. Now, olive oregano is also prized for its antiseptic essential oil uses in aromatherapy because of those phenols. It's prized in as an oil to basically help because it's so aromatic, and it's basically used in steam as a steam method to help relieve coughs and help other respiratory illnesses. So a lot of times, essentially, is that many times those who are using it in the essential oils would use it to help with the upper respiratory issues, upper respiratory illnesses, by basically putting it in dispelling it in an oil and putting it in a diffuser. Also, the same way people have used it to ward off insects outdoors, and again, some people have used it to help heal cold sores and dandruff, and to ease a sore throat by simply adding a few drops to a glass of water and gargling with it. And so again, there's so many ways to use olive oregano. Again, like I said before, it's been used in infusions, been used in water. You can take it internally, one or two drops. But be warned, olive oregano is, if you have the real deal, it is very, 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 very potent. And if you have the real deal from the Mediterranean Mountains, like I said, it doesn't take but a drop, and you will definitely feel the power if you take it internally. If you drink it, make one drop in a glass of water, you would definitely dilute it. You would definitely, definitely, definitely feel the power of it. Again, you're listening to Phase 3 Wellness, the Phase 3 Wellness podcast. This is Dr. Keith Henry. We've been talking about olive oregano. Some people may ask, well, are there any side effects, anything? But before you take any herb or anything of that nature, you need to make sure that, I know most people don't do this, but before you start on any herb or any type of protocol, I would highly recommend, if you're on any medication of any sort, that you do consult with your physician. And if you also have a naturopath, your naturopath, if you're on medication already, you be sure to tell your naturopath or whoever your natural practitioner is, and they should. Now, some of them might not, but they should do a cross check to make sure there are no contraindications with whatever herb that they may be recommending you to take, making sure there are no contraindications with any medication that you may be on. I also recommend, you know, that naturopath or the natural practitioner, they should take that time as part of what you're paying them to do, is to make sure that they're not recommending anything to you that may cause you damage. Also, make sure they should be able to check out if there's any contraindication, and if they are, they may tell you we're not taking, they may be able to find an alternative. But generally speaking, oil of oregano, depending, I don't want to say, I don't want to give you any health advice on here, but just talk with your competent, talk with your physician if necessary, or talk with you, and also on your, like I said, your naturopath or your herbalist or whoever that you're dealing with, to make sure that you're not taking something that's going to cause any contraindication with any medication. Never stop medication on your own. I know some people do this as well, but please, please, please don't do that. Consult with your physician, because what happens is your body will become accustomed to this medication. And if you just stop abruptly that way, the body, it could shock the body, and the body is conditioned to whatever, especially if you've been taking the medication a long time. And to just stop it like that, it could cause your body to, it can cause problems. So, you know, never just stop your medication. Always consult with your physician. He or she may wean you off, or they may stop you depending, but don't ever just stop it abruptly without getting consultation from your doctor, your physician. And again, like I said, if you have a medical doctor, it's also a good idea to have a naturopath. I know some may say, well, my medical doctor is also trained in, he's an integrated physician, which is, that's good too. But it's also good, you know, if he, many times having a naturopath, because that's all that they do, constantly. I think it's a good idea to have a medical doctor and have a naturopath, a physician or naturopath. Or if you have a very good medical doctor who's also trained and educated and experienced in natural medicine, that may be all you need. But I think you probably have you probably do a little bit better by having a physician and also having a skillful naturopath or herbalist, or, you know, someone that can help you in that path. You've been listening to the Phase 3 Wellness Podcast. My name is Dr. Keith Henry. I'd like to thank you for joining me. We are going to, this has been our final article. This closes out rather our final segment. We did two articles a day. We normally do three in the Week in Natural News Review, but I want to spend a little bit more time on our last segment today instead of rushing through it. Be sure to join me here next week. We'll be back at our regular time at 3:30, if all goes well. It's our regular time. And remember to share the podcast with others. Health is a blessing from our Creator, and we sometimes don't realize how much of a benefit it is until we lose it. Again, thank you for listening. Until next time, have a blessed week.